Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Very happy to be here with you. We've got a great show. We're going to talk about baptism today with the author of the brand new book, Baptism Now Saves You, How Water and Spirit Give Eternal Life, Dr. Carla Roussard. So if you've got baptism questions, or maybe you want to challenge that notion that baptism saves you, if that's the case, whatever your question about baptism is, it is welcome this hour, 888-318-7884. Dr. Carla Roussard is an apologist here at Catholic Answers, a podcaster, a wonderful speaker, and author of about 1,000 books now? How many books is it? Are you up to 1,000 yet? It's roughly 1,000.
Not quite, my friend. I ain't Trent Horn.
But you're getting close, though. How many books do you have, really? Do you even know?
The baptism book is number 7.
Oh, only 7 books. I hope I can do that before I die. I'd like to write 7 books. A lot of them are going to just be mostly doodling if I'm going to pull this off before death. But congratulations on the book, Baptism Now Saves You.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. I'm pretty excited about it. I'm very grateful to the Catholic Answers team for all of the hard work that they put into it and producing it, from Todd and Drew and the editing group and the marketing and everybody who worked to create the cover all across the board. Super grateful to the team for producing it. Very excited for people to read it. I think they'll find it very enjoyable and easy read. It's packed with content, some deep theology, but I tried my best at least to write it in a way that's digestible for the popular audience to be able to read it and walk away from reading it with a deeper understanding of the sacrament of baptism, how to explain it on account of that deeper understanding, and then also to defend it against those who pose challenges to the majority Christian belief in what we call baptismal regeneration. That's just simply to say baptism is willed by God to be the ordinary means through which he regenerates us or spiritually renews us by his grace.
You did make it readable. And the point at which I knew, oh, this is a readable book, is where you actually mentioned us, Catholic Answers Live, and you talked about blowing an answer on air. Do you remember this part of the book? You were like, oh, this guy asked me about baptism, and I forget what it was about, the Council of Trent.
Oh, it was Baptism of Desire.
And you were like, this is how you wrote. You're like, I blew the answer when I was on the air, but here's the correct answer. I thought, oh, that's funny.
I don't know if I said I blew it. Well, I think I said I may have stumbled a bit. It wasn't as airtight as I would have liked it.
Yeah, but that's the way that you say I blew it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm familiar with your patterns of speech. Yeah, I found it very readable. Baptism Now Saves You, How Water and Spirit Give Eternal Life. I'll tell you what, a few years ago, it became obvious to everyone that Catholics didn't know the sacrament of the Eucharist, didn't understand the sacrament. We had a Eucharistic Congress and all of that. What made you think we need a book on baptism? What drove you in that direction?
Well, practically speaking and honestly, it was the amount of calls that we were getting on Catholic Answers Live when we did shows on baptism. So we did a few of them, 2 hours worth, and each time we did baptism, the lines were full, and people were calling their theological and biblical questions concerning baptism. So that prompted me to begin thinking about, wow, people were actually interested in baptism. And then just in normal conversation, especially with our Baptist friends, of course, baptism always comes up. And also, too, I had written a few articles on the subject. And so taking all of that together, I began to see that there was not only a need, but a very real potential to accomplish this feat and write a book on the sacrament of baptism to fill a hole, yet another reason why we wrote it, in the catalog, in the Catholic Answers Press catalog. So we have a variety of different books on a variety of different Catholic apologetical topics, and some on the Blessed Mother. We have one, Joe Heschmeyer's on Pope Peter, right? I wrote one on Purgatory, the Intercession of the Saints. Jimmy has his book on salvation, all of the big topics that come up in apologetical discussions. And lo and behold, we didn't have one on the first and primary sacrament, namely the sacrament of baptism. And so we concluded that there was a need for it within the apologetical arsenal here at Catholic Answers, and then also for people on their bookshelves and their apologetical arsenal to have a book devoted specifically to baptism that articulates and explains what the church teaches precisely about the sacrament, and then strategies as to how to engage in conversations with those who reject that belief.
Baptism Now Saves You, How Water and Spirit Give Eternal Life. If you've wondered how water and spirit give eternal life, this is the book for you. Later I'll talk about that. It's on sale now at shop.catholic.com. You use the promo code WATER, you get 25% off. But right now I would like to get to questions. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884. I'm going to ask you, I don't know if it's the most common challenge, but it's a very common challenge. So that's why what I want to start you out with.
Yeah.
And I don't want to read later in a book, oh, I blew this question when I was on Catholic Answers Live. I want the correct answer, right? I'm just kidding. All right. Where, Dr. Carla Broussard, is infant baptism in the Bible?
Yeah, it depends upon what you mean by the question. If you're asking for an example in the New Testament where an infant is baptized, we don't have that. Now, if that's a problem for you, well, then we're going to have a discussion as to why you would demand an example of infant baptism in order to adopt the belief. Of course, the underlying assumption there being the principle of sola scriptura. So it's a more fundamental question that we're going to have to answer, or a discussion that we're going to have. Now, if the question pertains to, do we have any data in the New Testament by way of divine revelation that we can conclude or infer by good and necessary consequence, as the Westminster Confession states, the belief in and practice of infant baptism? And the answer is yes, because what we have revealed to us in the New Testament allows for us to see the logical consequence of the data that we would indeed baptize infants. So I give several arguments in my book, one of which comes from what I find interesting, and many don't appeal to this too often, is Jesus's call for the infants to be brought to him by the disciples in Luke chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. And the Greek word that's used there for the children to be brought to him is brephos, which literally refers to a child that's still unborn in a fetus. But in this case, it's a very small child or a baby or an infant that Jesus is speaking about the disciples to allow the parents to bring them to Jesus. Now, what's interesting there, Si, is our Lord says that the kingdom of God belongs to these. The kingdom of God belongs to these infants. So think about this. If adults are proper recipients of baptism on account of the kingdom belonging to them, well, then it's reasonable to conclude that infants would also be proper recipients of baptism on account of Jesus saying that the kingdom belongs to them as well. So again, if we're going to baptize adults on account of the kingdom belonging to them, well, then we can baptize infants on account of what Jesus teaches us here, the kingdom belongs to them. And I find that's an interesting text to appeal to. It's not explicit, it is implicit, but within the courtroom of for evidence, implicit evidence suffices and is welcome for both Catholics and Protestants. Now, Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 through 12 is more explicit, because there St. Paul explicitly identifies baptism as the circumcision of Christ. And from that revealed data, we can infer that the new circumcision, the circumcision of Christ, would be applied and given to infants on account of the fact that the old circumcision was given to infants, at least male infants. So in light of baptism being the circumcision of Christ, the new circumcision, it's reasonable to conclude that baptism would be given to infants. And if you think about the reverse of that, that baptism, the new circumcision, would not be given to infants, you can see the argument becomes even stronger. Because think about this, Si. Infants could be included within and enter into the covenantal family of God on account of the old circumcision. And if baptism is the new circumcision, you go around saying, well, no, that's not applicable to infants, well, then you're denying infants into the entry into the new covenantal family of God. And so it would seem to entail that the old covenant is superior to the new, saying that infants could be members of God's covenantal family for the old, but not the new. That doesn't make sense. So given the revelation that baptism is the new circumcision, we can infer from it, by good and necessary consequence, that infants are to be baptized. Now, our Protestant friends are going to have a few counters there that I deal with in my book, but it gets into sort of the theological weeds. And finally, I'd just say this, Si. In John chapter 3, two more things very briefly. Then I'll let you talk, Si.
No, I'm actually really enjoying this. I really like that.
So think about this, and we're going to get to this text in more detail, I'm sure, throughout our conversation today. But in John chapter 3, verse 5, the born again discourse, Jesus says, unless anyone is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And as I argue in my book there, whenever Jesus says, unless one is born again, it means anyone, like any human being. Jesus does not restrict the need to be born again only to adults. Jesus just says, unless one, the implication being unless a human being is born again by water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so I think that's a strong indication that Jesus is revealing the new birth is applicable to all human beings, whether adults or infants. And to assert that it applies only to those who are of the age of reason would be to read into the text something that is not there, and thereby violating the principle of sola scriptura, at least from a Protestant's perspective who denies baptismal regeneration. And finally, the precise reason why we baptize infants on account of what is revealed to us is the revelation of original sin. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, if human beings come into existence with what we call original sin, the deprivation of God's love in our hearts or sanctifying grace, and it's also revealed to us that baptism gives that grace, well, then out of love, we're going to baptize infants, because through that baptism, the grace is given, thereby washing away original sin. Well, premise two, it is revealed that all human beings come into existence with original sin, the deprivation of grace. It is also revealed that baptism gives that sanctifying grace to wash away original sin. And so therefore it follows that we baptize our infants. So notice, Si, we can construct a variety of different arguments for infant baptism from the theological data revealed to us in sacred scripture. And all Protestants have to accept at least that methodology. Even though it's not explicitly there, the revealed data can lead us to the theological conclusion to believe in infant baptism and then thereby practice it.
It's quite a kind of accumulation of evidence.
Correct.
All punctuated by that thing that Paul said, that this is the circumcision of Christ. And circumcision, of course, is done to infants, at least in most cases, circumcision is done to infants. So that kind of catalyzes the whole thing go ahead. You were going to say.
Yeah, I was, and an interesting point about this revealed data of baptism being the new circumcision, the early Christians in the mid-third century never debated as to whether we baptize infants. The debate was over how long we should wait to baptize infants. Some Christians were saying, on account of baptism being the new circumcision, that we should wait the amount of days that they had to wait in the old covenant for the male child to be circumcised. And Cyprian of Carthage, if my memory serves me correctly, responds and says, no, we need to be baptizing as soon as possible. Just because it's the new circumcision in light of typology and the fulfillment of the Old Testament type, it doesn't follow that you have to have a one-to-one match in the parallel, that we need to baptize and apply the new circumcision of Christ immediately as soon as possible and not wait so many days like it was in the Old Covenant.
Dr. Carlo Broussard is our guest. Baptism Now Saves You, How Water and Spirit Give Eternal Life. It's out now from Catholic Answers Press. If you go to shop.catholic.com, you can get 25% off on it today when you use the promo code WATER. Just use the promo code WATER at shop.catholic.com and take 25% off the cost of Baptism Now Saves You. Got to take a very quick break. We'll come back for questions. Go ahead and fill up those phones. If you've got questions about baptism, if you want to challenge something Dr. Broussard has said, you're welcome to do that as well. Anybody, welcome to call 888-318-7884.
Catholic Answers Live.
Do you have a question but prefer to ask it privately? Catholic Questions can help. Go to CatholicQuestions.com to ask your question online, email us, drop us a letter, or give us a call. Longtime Catholic Answers Live apologist and author Jim Blackburn or another Catholic Questions apologist will be happy to assist you. Catholic Questions proudly supports Catholic Answers Live, so visit us at CatholicQuestions.com today. That's CatholicQuestions.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily Mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church, on the web at Magnificat.com.
This is Father Dwight Longenecker. Catholic Radio helps to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world in the fullness of the Catholic faith, with sound teaching, orthodox theology, reverent worship. EWTN is doing the very best work we can to spread the fullness of the faith in the Catholic Church throughout the whole world.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
It's always exciting when a new book comes out from Catholic Answers Press. We're always excited around here. And this is a beautiful one, Baptism Now Saves You, How Water and Spirit Give Eternal Life, out now from our guest, Dr. Carlo Broussard. As I said, 25% off if you use the promo code WATER when you buy it at our website, shop.catholic.com today. I said I wanted to get folks on the line, and I don't want to keep people waiting too long. There are lines open. You are welcome to call with your questions about baptism, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Daniel is in Dallas, Texas, watching on YouTube. Glad you're here, Daniel. Go ahead with your question.
Hello, do you guys hear me?
Yes, very well, yep. Actually, yes.
Oh, okay, perfect. Yeah, so my question is about, you know, all these verses about baptism regeneration. It says it saves you. It says it washes away your sins, gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm a little confused how that would apply to infants because they haven't committed any personal sins. So I'm not sure what they're being saved from. And also, if you say it's original sin, I'm a little bit puzzled how a baby can be directly guilty for something it didn't do, namely the sin of Adam. So I'm a little confused how we harmonize those things.
All right. Yeah, so you rightly hit the nail on the head, Daniel, that the answer to your question would be saved from, quote unquote, original sin. But we have to be careful as to what we mean by original sin. What we do not mean as Catholics by original sin is that the baby has the personal guilt of Adam for his offense against God, such that a baby would be punished in a direct way on account of his father's sin. Does the baby have to suffer the temporal consequence of natural death, given the fact that Adam forfeited that gift for his progeny by sinning against God? Yes, but that's a punishment by way of taking away a gift that was promised to be given on condition that Adam obeyed. And so God can give the gift, God can revoke the gift on certain conditions when they're met or not met. But the baby does not have the guilt of original sin in the sense that the baby is personally guilty for Adam's sin. Now, what do we mean by quote-unquote original sin? Well, as the Catechism points out in its section on original sin, Daniel, and I find this very helpful, by original sin, we do not mean a personal act, but more of a state of the soul. Traditionally, it's called the death of the soul, and what that means is a deprivation of sanctifying grace. The soul is void of God's love, Romans 5:5, poured forth within the heart. So when human beings come into existence on account of Adam's original sin, human beings do not have that in virtue of which we are justified or put in a rightly ordered relationship in the covenantal relationship with God and his covenantal family. We call that sanctifying grace in our theology, Daniel. So what baptism does is give, God has ordained, so I argue in my book, and we believe as Catholics, God has ordained baptism to be the ordinary way, instrument, means to give that grace that the human being coming into existence does not have, on account of which the human being can be a friend of God, a child of God the Father in the covenantal family of God. And so what baptism saves the child from is that state of lacking sanctifying grace, that death of the soul. That's what baptism saves the child from. And of course, baptism saves the child for the kingdom insofar as baptism gives the grace in virtue of which the child enters into the kingdom of God, the mystical body of Christ, as St. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And of course, that saving relationship with God is further ordered to its perfection at the end of the child's life, the person's life, when they die and enter into the beatific vision. So that's how we answer the question as to what the child is saved from if it's not personal sin, and precisely what the child is saved from when we acknowledge that he's being saved from original sin. Any thoughts in response, Daniel?
Yeah, thank you for that. I appreciate that. Would you say that the Orthodox hold a similar view when they baptize infants?
Yeah, Daniel. You know, it's interesting. In the research that I've done, it has become apparent to me that whenever Catholics and Orthodox talk about quote-unquote original sin, and baptism saving the infant from original sin, we are talking past each other. Orthodox think something that we do not intend. But whenever you get past the semantical hurdle of original sin and articulate the metaphysical reality, like what's real, namely, soul not having sanctifying grace, baptism giving sanctifying grace, therefore baptism saving individual. When you articulate it in those terms, in my mind, it seems like we are actually affirming the same reality. And, you know, I might recommend Michael Lofton's book, Answering Orthodoxy. He did a great job in his chapter on this issue where he dispels the confusion of the terminology, gets to the reality. And when you come out on the other side of that study, Daniel, you come to see like, man, Catholics and Orthodox actually aren't in disagreement on this. So I would recommend Lofton's book, Answering Orthodoxy, which is published by Catholic Answers Press, and you can get that at shop.catholic.com.
I'll tell you what I'll do, Daniel. Since you're our first caller today, I'd like to give you Dr. Carla Broussard's brand new book, Baptism Now Saves You. But also, because you're our first caller, how about if we also give you Michael Lofton's book, Answering Orthodoxy? That's two books. With one stone, that doesn't make any sense. Two books for one caller. Daniel, thanks very much for the call. The number here is 888-318-7884. If you have questions about baptism, if you want to challenge Dr. Carla Broussard on his understanding of baptism as the sacrament that saves us, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. Real quick, before we have to go to the break, and then I'll take more callers after the break. We talked a bit because of this idea of baptism saving you. You mentioned Baptists and all that, but in your understanding, are there Protestants, or are there large numbers of Protestants who would agree baptism is a saving sacrament, not just a sign of your salvation, but is in fact a saving sacrament? I'm wondering, are we arguing with all Protestants, or is this a more limited kind of argument?
Yeah, it's a limited audience concerning those who would deny baptismal regeneration, our Baptist friends being one example. Those who would affirm baptismal regeneration would be our friends like Church of Christ, right? Lutherans affirm baptismal regeneration. Presbyterians affirm baptismal regeneration. Methodists affirm baptismal regeneration. So, in fact, as I point out in my book, Cy, the majority of Christianity, and of course, you know, our Orthodox brothers and sisters believe in it as well, but they're like, you know, they're not in the Protestant community.
Sure,
so that's why
right.
I was focusing on those examples. The majority of Christianity affirms baptismal regeneration, and it's the minority within the Christian world that rejects it. And so this book is ordered specifically toward the conversations that we have with those particular groups of Christians who would reject baptismal regeneration. And the majority of non-denominational Christian communities on the street corner in your everyday walk of life are going to most likely deny it as well. And it's those individuals that we have a lot of conversations with. So the book is indeed relevant for the people that we have conversations with in those groups.
All right, we'll come back and we'll take calls. We've got quite a few lines open right now. So if you've got questions about baptism, we don't usually have all those lines open for baptism. 888-318-7884. Why do Catholics pray to dead people, bow to statues, venerate relics? And where do we find any of this stuff in the Bible? In the delightful book, The Saints Pray for You, Dr. Carla Broussard convincingly defends the ancient Christian belief rooted in Scripture that the saints care for us, that they're our allies. Order your copy of The Saints Pray for You today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Why We're Catholic is the one book you can hand to anyone to invite them into or back to the Catholic faith. With more than 400,000 copies sold, Trent Horn's book has had a number one ranking on Amazon.com for 5 years running. Now available in softcover, bulk cases, ebook, and on Audible. Find out what the excitement is all about. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic at shop.catholic.com or visit whywearecatholic.com.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun, and that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that, but he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs, but you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests, he does on-air debates, and he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Always around this time of the year, we like to say on the show, we like to remind people or inform people that maybe you've been listening and you are interested in entering the Catholic Church. Many Catholic parishes around this country and around the world are welcoming people right now into their RCIA or OCIA programs. Those are, I shouldn't say programs, but they're classes, their meetings, their gatherings, and you. All you do is go and learn about the Catholic faith. There's absolutely no obligation. There's no charge. There's no implied promise. It's for people who have been thinking about it and have now taken an interest in the Catholic faith. Now, if you take those classes and go to the meetings each week, and a few months from now, you come to the conclusion, yes, I am ready to be Catholic, you're on track then to receive your sacraments at most often, not always, in most parishes on at the Easter Vigil Mass to Easter. So if you are not baptized, you could be baptized, you know, 7 or 8 months from now. If you have not been confirmed or have not, maybe not received your first communion, you could have those sacraments 7 or 8 months from now. So all you do is you find the closest Catholic parish and you say, which day of the week is your RCIA or OCIA meetings or your your just ask them, you know, I want to come into the Catholic Church. When do the classes meet? And go to them, and they will be happy to help you with that. And I strongly recommend that if you have any interest in the Catholic faith that you do this, because what you will find is that 6 months from now, if a conviction comes upon you that you're ready to be Catholic, you will be in a good position to receive the sacraments. And it's a very joyful thing to receive the sacraments in the Catholic Church. All of this I am put in mind of because today we're talking about Baptism Now Saves You, the new book from Dr. Carla Roussard. If you are considering entering the church, you might consider reading that book. But also I would think that for anybody who's offering the RCIA in their parish, or sometimes called the OCIA now, this would be a book to have available for those who don't understand baptism or have questions about baptism. It's a primer in many ways. I mean, you open it up, you can find you'll find a chapter on whatever the question is that the person has. So check that out at shop.catholic.com. Again, if you do it today, use the promo code WATER, probably all week. I'm guessing all week. If you just put the promo code WATER in, they're going to give you 25% off. So I'm thinking at the break, I do want to continue to make that invitation that we make every year at this time, but also to suggest people get this book, Baptism Now Saves You, for their parish's RCIA program. 888-318-7884 is the question, is the number to call if you have a question. It's not the question. That is not even a question. Unless you're a machine, numbers can't be a question. Is that how computers work, by the way? Jeff, our computer... guy says, yeah, roughly. That's basically how computers work. I think he's patronizing me. Joe's in Brick, New Jersey. Joe, thank you for calling with your question on baptism. Go ahead. Well, we like listening to the show twice sometimes, especially me. I love to hear my voice. But now you can say hello, Joe.
Hi, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, we can, Joe. It's so nice to have you here. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Broussard.
Yes, my question was, I saw something online on an article that if another person is baptized in an emergency situation, a life or death, if a friend or family member is in critical condition, could that person baptize that friend or family member in an emergency situation?
The short answer, Joe, is yes. As the Catechism of the Catholic Church in paragraph 1256 states, the ordinary ministers of baptism are the bishop, priests, and in the Latin Church, also the deacon. That implies that there can be extraordinary ministers of the sacrament of baptism. The Catechism goes on to state, in the case of necessity, like in grave situations where there's no access to ordinary ministers, the classic case being in the moment of death, right? And so someone is in danger of death. The Catechism states anyone, even a non-baptized person, can baptize. And the Catechism is just reaffirming what was definitively taught in the 13th century at the Fourth Lateran Council, where it stated that anyone, as assuming that they have proper form, Trinitarian formula, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, using water with the proper intention, they can confer the sacrament of baptism. And that would be anyone in the case of necessity. I go into further detail in my book, Joe, Baptism Now Saves You, provide the theological rationale behind this, namely that even though somebody does not know what baptism communicates and is and does to the individual, as long as they intend to do what the church intends to do, even without having the proper knowledge, that intention is sufficient. It suffices to communicate the graces of the sacrament. Even an atheist intending to do what the church intends to do can communicate the grace of the sacrament. This is why, Joe, as Catholics, we believe that even, say, our Baptist friends' baptisms will be considered and looked upon as a valid baptism, again, assuming that they have proper form, matter, and the intention to do what Christ commanded to do. Even though we would judge and conclude and argue that their understanding of baptism is wrong, nevertheless, their intention to do what Christ commanded the apostles to do in Matthew 28:19, go out and make disciples by baptizing them in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit, that intention suffices in order for the sacrament to be valid, again, assuming that proper form and matter is being used. So to answer your question, yes, in the case of necessity, anyone can baptize. Anyone can administer the sacrament of baptism. And as St. Thomas Aquinas would argue, this is on account of the necessity of the sacrament for entering into the kingdom of God. As our blessed Lord revealed to us, unless one is born again of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God, and has not revealed to us other ways for example, infants to enter into heaven, nor has he revealed specifically and explicitly other ways for even adults to enter into the kingdom of God without the sacrament of baptism. Are there certain principles from which we can derive an invincible ignorance and a possible administering of the grace without the sacrament? Yes. But given the fact that our Lord has revealed to us this way of entrance into the kingdom of God, and given that it's like the primary thing and the primary condition that needs to be met for entering the kingdom of God, we have the understanding that it's applicable. It can be administered by anyone because of its necessity for entrance into the kingdom.
I tell you what we would love to do is send you a copy of Dr. Carla Broussard's new book, Baptism Now Saves You. Joe, just hang on the line. We'll get an address and we'll send a copy of the book to you. Thank you very much for the question. We're taking questions on baptism this hour, and you are welcome to get on the line. A couple of lines open right now, 888-318-7884. Off we go to Portsmouth, Virginia. Scott, thank you very much for the call. Go ahead with the question.
Yes, I hope this makes sense. I think Carla Broussard stated that Presbyterians and Methodists and maybe Church of Christ believed in baptismal regeneration. I was just looking online, and I had always been taught that they don't believe that it causes regeneration or spiritual rebirth. But instead, instead they view baptism as a sign and seal of the covenant, a symbolic act that is visible, not the conferral of it. So, is it just a matter of semantics, or do they actually believe in baptismal regeneration in the sense that Catholics do, the Presbyterians and the Methodists and the Church of Christ folks?
Yeah, great question. So, This is something that requires a little nuancing. So I will say that I should not have thrown it out without further qualifications and nuances. So I was just talking to my good friend who is a former Presbyterian pastor who recently converted to Catholicism. Great guy, very theologically sound. And in our conversations, it is true that he would not have articulated baptism as communicating sanctifying grace in order to get rid of that death of the soul that we call original sin. In fact, within his Presbyterian theological framework, he did not even have the conceptual framework of sanctifying grace as we understand it as Catholics. So in that sense, understanding baptismal regeneration according along those lines, it would not map on with their theological framework. However, within the Presbyterian theological framework, they do affirm that in baptism, the individual does enter into the covenant and does receive a state of existence in relationship to God that the individual did not have prior to it. One thing in particular is deliverance from the power of sin and the domination of sin and the power of the devil. That they do affirm, and that was verified by my former Presbyterian pastor friend. So, Scott, in that sense, there is an overlap with the Catholic and majority Christian understanding of baptismal regeneration, such that in and through baptism, there is a deliverance from the power of sin. such that the nature of the individual is renewed to be disposed for good works and holy works. And that is something our Presbyterian friends do affirm, that in and through baptism, the individual who before baptism was not disposed to do anything good, after baptism now is disposed to do good works in the Lord. That's a spiritual renewal that takes place. So although our Presbyterian friends would not articulate baptismal regeneration along the lines and using the terminology that we normally do, whenever you dig deeper into the conversation and what their theological framework allows for and articulates, it might not be 100% exact, but it is pretty darn close. And there's quite a bit of overlap that we could look at as a Catholic and say, well, you might not say it's baptismal regeneration, but according to this point and that point, boy, it sure is mapping on with baptismal regeneration. So I'm glad you asked the question, because my lack of nuancing the statement could indeed lead to confusion. But that's based upon conversations that I've had with a former Presbyterian pastor who was very well theologically trained.
Okay, Scott?
Okay, great.
Scott, if you'd like a copy, well, I have to go to the break now, but if you hang on the line, we'd be happy to send you a copy of Baptism Now Saves You, How Water and Spirit Give Eternal Life, the new book from our guest, Dr. Carlo Broussard. The number here, 888-318-7884.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
One of the biggest mistakes a Christian can make is to try to do good without God's help. Saint Therese said, when we trust only ourselves and not God, our soul becomes incapable of virtue. Her remedy? Works of charity. And the greatest work of charity is to share the gospel. At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we encourage you to share the gospel with someone who doesn't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. StreetEvangelization.com.
Mother Angelica had a simple goal when she began EWTN, to reach the world with a gospel message. Today, EWTN offers an online learning series, its own YouTube channel, the Daily Mass and devotionals, and audio and video on demand. We've never wavered from our mandate to proclaim the truth and majesty of the Catholic faith. Thank you for joining EWTN in this mission.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Jeff, running the soundboard today. You're getting good at it, Jeff. You're getting really good. It sounds really good. Do I sound good right now? Are you making me sound good? Thank you. I appreciate that. The number here is 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Dr. Carlo Broussard is our guest. We're happy because he's got a brand new book out, Baptism Now Saves You. Guess what it's about? It's about baptism and salvation and explaining the nuances of the theology of baptism and answering your questions about baptism. You can get it at shop.catholic.com. For 25% off today, just use the promo code WATER. Every single line full, Dr. Broussard. Shall we straight back to the phones, or was there anything else?
Let's do it.
I feel
it. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Travis is in Virginia watching on the EWTN app. Thanks for waiting, Travis. Go ahead with your question.
Hey, hey, Carlo. How's it going?
Hi, Travis. Very well.
Feel good. I'm listening on the EWTN app, and Carlo, I got a question for you. I'll try to be pretty quick. But I just wanted to mention, Cy, you had a guest on your show about a week ago, Father Sebastian Carnazzo.
Oh, yes.
And he's doing the study course over at the Institute of Catholic Culture, and the classes actually start tonight, and I'm really excited about it.
Oh, great.
And,
you're going to learn all about the Book of Revelation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
good.
Man.
Good, Travis.
It's awesome, man. Yeah, yeah. So, I guess I'm thankful for them guys, of course, and thankful for all they do over there. And EWTN has also mentioned them on the Sunrise Morning Show a lot, too, as well. Father Hezekiah, he's a frequent guest on the morning show. Yep.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Okay. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, but anyways.
Go ahead, Travis.
All right, yeah. So my question would be for Carlo, since I'm going into this study of Revelation, can you link anything with baptism from the book of Revelation? And perhaps maybe, for example, baptisms, early baptisms, escaping persecution, the rise of the early church and stuff like that. Could you link anything to that?
Travis, can I just ask you real quick before, Carl, is this the homework? Is this the homework that Father assigned?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. As long as we're not doing your homework. Go ahead, Carlo. No.
All right, Travis. So I don't think there is anything, definitely not anything on the explicit level. And even on the implicit level, I do think it's a bit hard to come by, although there is some potential in a couple of verses. One, for example, would be Revelation chapter 22, verse 14. Where we read, "Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates." So notice there it speaks of washing their robes. One could read that within the entire Christian context of the first century as a possible reference to the sacrament of baptism, because the washing of the baptismal waters, the washing of regeneration, that imagery of washing is indeed associated with baptism within the Christian tradition. And so in light of that, it is possible that you could read Revelation 22:14 as a reference to those who wash their robes, that is, who are going through the baptismal waters in order to have access to the quote-unquote tree of life, which is a reference to heaven. And that would fit theologically with the Catholic understanding of baptism, that baptism is the ordinary means through which we are granted entrance into the kingdom of God in an imperfect state here on earth, and then perfectly when we enter into heaven in the beatific vision. Now, the washing of their robes could also refer to the martyrdom that they experienced, or the physical persecution that they experienced, on account of which they were judged worthy of entrance into heaven. And so I don't see anything in the text that would, at least immediately, right off the bat, that would exclude a martyrdom or physical persecution interpretation by the washing of their robes. But at the same time, it seems that it could also fit with a baptismal interpretation. And so I think Revelation 22:14 has at least something going for it. It has some traction in relation to the sacrament of baptism. And then others have appealed to Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, where it speaks of overcoming believers being, quote unquote, clothed in white garments. And of course, that has relation to the early Christian practice of catechumens becoming baptized and having white garments on to symbolize their new state of spiritual purity on account of God's grace being infused in their soul through baptism. So I would not put my eggs in the basket, so to speak, and hang my hat on these two passages as biblical references to the sacrament of baptism, especially within argumentation or apologetics. I would avoid these passages. However, if you're just simply doing a Bible study like you're fixing to do, and you're reflecting upon sacred scripture in a theological and a spiritual sense, then I think it would be appropriate to at least see the possibility of references to the sacrament of baptism in these two passages. So that's all I got on that, my friend. Hopefully that's helpful to you.
Okay, Travis.
Yeah, that was a great answer. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm really excited you're taking the course. If you would like a copy of the new book that just came out from Dr. Carlo Broussard, just hang on the line. We'll send it out to you. Baptism Now Saves You, How Water and Spirit Give Eternal Life. We'd love it if you'd have it. Travis, and all we need from you is somewhere to send it. Let's go to Ryan in St. Louis, Missouri, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Glad to have you, Ryan. Go ahead with your question.
Good evening, gentlemen. I can now officially call myself Catholic in training as OCIA just began last week.
Hey, congratulations.
And, nice to be good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You want to tell us
and
the parish?
And we'll also be participating in... Say again?
Would you want to tell us the parish?
I'm sorry. Yes, St. Rose of Lima in DeSoto, Missouri.
Oh, congratulations. Wonderful. Wonderful.
So hey, stupid. So,
I think I've lost...
Yes, still hear me?
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit. So no, maybe we should... Just go ahead to the question.
All right. I'll keep this quick. And by the way, Cy, love the new book. I've actually... bought a box for my OCIA class. Right.
Awesome.
So the situation, my wife and I are
talking about your books.
I
know that.
Both of your books are awesome.
I'm loath to interrupt Ryan because every time we interrupt him, his phone cuts out. But
I know. Sorry, Ryan. Cy had this look like, what? He's talking about my book? And I was like, yes, he's talking about your book, Cy.
Yeah,
rejoice in it.
The new book with Steve Dawson on how to talk about Jesus with anyone. And I'm very grateful. Like, you're not even Catholic yet, and you bought all those books. So thank you. That means a lot to me, Ryan.
Well, it's... Yeah, you know, I can't wait to delve into it. I must admit I have not yet cracked it, but my wife has. No surprise. All right. So the question at hand is my wife and I are fostering our grandniece while her mother gets her life together. We would like to have the baby baptized in the Catholic Church. Now, neither my wife nor I are yet Catholic. However, the baby's father is. Whether reunification with the parents occurs or not, we would like to do it, and all indications are that the father would like to have the child baptized in the Catholic Church. So,
okay,
is that possible? How does it work?
All right, good question, Ryan. So you answered a couple of initial questions that I was going to ask before I give my answer. Number one, this is a baby, so that was my first question. And number two... Is the father giving any consent to this? So if the father gives consent to the baby being baptized, then you can for sure have the baby baptized. If the father rejects the baptism of the baby and does not give consent to the baby being baptized, then you should not baptize the baby. And I know for a lot of people that's hard to accept, but for the argumentation behind that and the rationale as to why you shouldn't baptize the baby, assuming that the father does not consent to the baby's baptism, I go into great detail in my book, Baptism Now Saves You. The bottom line answer in summary is that the father has natural rights over his child as father, on account of the natural moral law. And for you to baptize the child without the consent of the father in this situation, then you would be doing violence against his natural rights. Now, could there come a time to where you have complete full legal guardianship of the child to where the father no longer is able to exercise his natural rights over the child, given those situations, then you would absolutely be able to baptize the child. But in this situation, you would not be able to baptize the child on condition that the father does not give consent. But if he gives consent, then indeed you can baptize the baby. Again, for more theological and philosophical explanation behind that answer, I would recommend reading the section on this in my book, Baptism Now Saves You, which, Ryan, if you hang on the line, I'm sure we'll send you a copy, my friend.
Oh, no, he's paying for books. Like, we got to keep him as a customer. We cannot give him free stuff. All right, Travis, hang on. We'd love to send you a copy of Baptism Now Saves You, How Water and Spirit give eternal life. All right, I'll tell you what, if you're on the line, you're going to have to hang on the line because we're going to have to take a quick break. But if you haven't called yet and you've got questions about baptism, this is going to be a perfect opportunity for you. There's three lines open right now, 888-318-7884. I do want to emphasize again that now today is a great day to buy this book, Baptism Now Saves You. I think you will very much enjoy it. It is quite a readable book. But also, I thought, Carlo, quite comprehensive. You got into many things about baptism that I hadn't thought of and that I was kind of like, oh, this is, it was kind of exciting to get to think about. So I think
more to come, buddy.
All right, good, very good. Well, there's more to come to this show too, so we've got another hour, but if you want to get the book, go over to shop.catholic.com, shop.catholic.com, put in that promo code WATER. He couldn't do baptism or saves or something. He had to do water, really? He just put in that promo code WATER at shop.catholic.com. You'll get 25% off the book, and you won't be sorry you got this book. It's a good one. Dr. Carlo Broussard is our guest. He's the author of 7 books, and he'll be back with us to take more of your questions on baptism. Now just one line open, 888-318-7884.